The 18th of December of 2015, my grandson underwent an operation that involved inserting a diaphragmatic pacer. A pacer for his lungs. He was only 8 years old. You see, he was born with a birth defect, congenital central hyperventilation syndrome, CCHS, better known, which most of you know. This syndrome affects all your organs that are involuntary, including your diaphragm that breathes, that makes your lungs breathe at night. Not many children have this, and they associate this with crib death. And before that, before he was 8 years old, he was on an air breathing machine. So we thank the doctors, we thank God for the doctors at Texas Children's who made that effort to go ahead and put that diaphragmatic pacers in, which was very new at the time. He was like, I think, the fifth or sixth child that received that. And we also thank God for the person that made it, you know, out of New York, the manufacturer who came down and observed it, and he guided the doctors in the surgery. Before that, my grandson would get would suffer seizures, and when he was younger, in grade school and kindergarten, and they told us that he would grow out of it when he was get older. Fast forward 2 months ago, approximately 2 months ago, a day before the feast, our grandson was on a red light, and he suffered a seizure at a red light. And he leaned forward, and that your weight makes your foot push the pedal, and he went through an intersection. And he went through a parking lot, and he went through two buildings, and into a, when I say through, he didn't hit the buildings, he went, and he hit a privacy fence, knocking it over. And when we came back from the feast and we made amends to the property owner, he said that an angel must have been steering that truck, because he went through parked cars and two buildings and a parking stall that was just could fit that car, that his Toyota, and he knocked the fence down. He said somebody else was guiding it. So we thank God for he's not getting injured and not injuring anybody else. He didn't go out without a scratch. So it seems only fitting that my sermonette today is titled Thankfulness. During these times, it seems like people, for the most part, have a view of entitlement only about themselves. And I'm pretty sure we can see that. And it's Thanksgiving just wasn't not too long ago. But it's only but a memory. But if you remember, and my second home, by the way, is Home Depot. And in August, I saw Halloween decorations. And then it was followed by September. In September, Christmas decorations came. I said, this is September and already Christmas. Other than maybe a televised parade, Thanksgiving was observed. And through the passing years, it looks like it's just something they go through. But it isn't a holy day, but it was a very important day for here in the United States that it marked a survival, that the pilgrims survived thanks to the Indians showing them how to plant crops, that they managed to have a crop, and they had a little feast, which they called Thanksgiving, with the Indians. We should, by the way, Christians show things differently. We should be thankful all the time. not only once a year. If you can turn with me to the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and verses 16 to 18. If you can turn with me there, Paul was giving basically a command to the Thessalonians, and he was telling them, and this is out of the Scofield Bible, by the way. I like sometimes different translations. And it says in verse 16, it says, be joyful always. Now, that's not a suggestion. It's command. Be joyful always. That's hard to do sometimes. And the second part of the sentence, it says, pray continually. That's another command. And a third, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, in whatever circumstances I'm in. Now, in my grandson's case, we're kind of sorrowful that seizures came back. But we're thankful that nothing happened to him. You know, everything else can be fixed. And the last part of the sentence, it says, for this is God's will for you. God's will. Now, what does will mean? We often hear that, you know, in sports, in his will, his willpower, and all that stuff. But God's will is his insistently. That's what a definition of will is. Being insistent. He knows that's not in our nature to be joyful always. He knows it's not giving thanks. So that's his will for us. Life goes easier, he says, if we do it that way. Thankfulness should be a way of life for us, naturally flowing from our hearts and our mouths. It's an attitude. That's what this whole book's about, is about attitude. Remember, if we just go by the laws, we're no better than the Pharisees. It's supposed to be our attitude, our effort on our part. Sounds corny, but sometimes when I had a rough week at work, I would wake up in the morning and I'd say, today is going to be a good day. And I'd try to make sure it would be. But unfortunately, in today's society, metrically speaking, 1 out of 10 people are thankful. And you say, Mark, how did you get that metrics? Well, I got it out of the Bible, out of the book of Luke. And when Jesus cured 10 lepers from leprosy, but only one came back to him and thanked him. Imagine, he saved their lives and only one came. So we should be able to pick up the slack. We should be making the difference. You know, we should thank the small things. You know, the small thing, turning on the water, and water comes out. You know, a roof over our head, and all that. It seems mundane, and yeah, Mark, yeah, but, you know, us that have traveled abroad, you know, those are significant things. Along with our ministers, there's sites that don't have ministers. They have other means of getting the God's word. Law enforcement, firemen, those doctors, oh, by the way, nurses and teachers. Let's go to James, the first chapter, that is. And the first part of verse 17. Caveat on 1 Thessalonians, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. So it's perfect. So we're not perfect, but we're striving for perfection. You know, there was, when I used to work at the base, I dreaded coming in on Mondays because I knew there was, I'd come in on 6 to 6:30 at work, and I knew there was a phone call around that time. It was the air operations manager. And he'd say all the things that happened in the runway and all that. And my ear would be this big. And he was Hispanic, and one Monday I said, I'm going to throw you a curve. And I said, and he's just started, you know, and I said, ¿Cómo amaneciste? In other words, how did you wake up? You know, and that caught him off guard, because he was just, you know, because some people just want to regurgitate everything, all their problems to you, and that way they feel better. And I threw him that, and he said, and it caught him off guard, and he said, con vida, gracias a Dios. I'm alive. Unbeknownst to me, that he had a health experience that almost took his life. I didn't know that. So, we need to thank God every morning that we can walk and talk and see and breathe. Remember, God's in control. And thankfulness is a strong trait of humility. You know, this world lacks that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 to 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 to 29. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, remember that, brethren, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with a reverence and awe, for our good, our God is a consuming fire. So we need to be practicing thankfulness, because what we're going to be given is by God. Finally, brethren, when we find ourselves in a problem or lacking, focus on be thankful for what we have. And as for my grandson, well, he turned 18 yesterday. And he's 5'11", every bit of 200 pounds. And I used to wrestle with him when he was younger, and I can still take him on. Don't tell him that, though. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.